John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, it's a very special All Yesterday's Parties, special on location All Yesterday's Parties.
Well, on location, we have more than one microphone.
And we've all had more than one person in the room, other than us, obviously. That's two people.
What? I know.
Great craziness.
Who else have we got in the room, John?
We have, sitting to my right, we have Dr. Matt Tyra.
What? He's a doctor.
I am. I'm sorry.
And who else have we got, John? You've got a mouthful of beer, so I'll tell you.
Yes.
We've also got, we've got Gordon Cashane again.
We have.
Much against everyone's better advice. you need to speak, mate.
Hello.
Yeah, microphone's on pick up waving, but thanks for participating.
we're not going to have the whole putting the hand up to ask questions debacle again, are we?
We probably are, mate.
Excellent.
It's probably going to happen. But yeah, we're on location in the Greyhound in Harts Hill.
We are.
Titanic Pub. They're local, John, aren't they?
They are local. Very local.
We're drinking some local beer from the local pub. It's very good.
Oh.
Very local.
Very, very local.
So, the reason we are convening, last time you heard from us all, we were all getting really excited to go to
Safest
Milk. Safest Milk Festival.
So very excited.
And then...
It curdled.
Oh, so that's a safe after all.
Only insofar as, you know, cheese is safe milk.
You should work for a dairy marketing board. Cheese, yeah. It's just safe milk.
I have heard it described as milk's leap towards immortality
before. Marvellous. So the week before we put out the last Safer's Milk review episode...
You might have put out.
I might have. I have no memory of it.
That went down a dark path. Anyway, yes, the week before we aired our final episode of that, the whole festival went bump.
Yeah, so we put the episode out anyway, because it was a belter.
Yes, it was. And What's-His-Face enjoyed it as well, didn't he? That... The guy we discussed. Yes, the guy whose output I described as thinking was unmitigated bollocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was entertaining.
His name's gone completely from my mind as well. He was playing with Martin Rev.
Yes.
We're sorry we forgot your name, Mysterious.
Oh, no. We're terrible people.
It's so... Oh, no. That's going to bother me now.
Fix it in edit.
Fix it in the edit.
So anyway, well, instead of going to the festival, we spent a weekend in a cottage making nonsense music, which will hopefully see the light of day one day.
You're all very unlucky.
Yes. Anyway, so what we're going to do for the next few episodes, we have made up our own...
Craig Leon,
of course.
Craig Leon.
Did you splice that in a way so that you can make it sound natural?
Hang on, everyone.
Craig Leon.
Sounds like Craig David.
No.
Craig Leon.
Anyway,
So what we're going to do is we're going to make up our own festival with artists that we'd like to see in it.
But yeah, it's an entirely fictional festival. It's not actually going to take place.
No. Nope.
But
what's it called?
We're working on that.
At the moment, it's going under the working title of Festival Fest 2018, but that's bound to change at some point.
Festival Fest 2018, brackets cancelled.
Well, then we can have Festival Fest 2019, The Revenge.
Also cancelled.
Right,
but so Michael Caine's in it.
Hey!
Once he's got out of his attic. That's a very niche Twitter joke, sorry. Michael Caine once tweeted any rumours of him being locked in his attic were completely false. Attic was spelt with...
two C's, wasn't it?
No, a C and a K.
Oh, very old school.
Locked in attic. So, we've elected to start with my bollocks music taste.
Well, what was one of your bollocks?
One of my bollocks music tastes.
Interestingly, you have four.
I know.
It's
very difficult to find a comfortable chair. So, I am going to be starting with one act comprised of two acts, if you like. It's a band called Covet.
And this is restrained.
This is.
Wait till I get down to Gordon's selections, ladies and gentlemen at home.
Hold on to your hats. So I'm starting with a band called Covet, which is led by a woman called Yvette Young. So he has a band called Covet, which does a lot of very complex math rock, I think is one of the descriptions I've scene. And she is also a solo artist, so she's got some EPs on Bandcamp for Covet's music, but she's also done some solo stuff. The EPs are titled Acoustic, but the style of play for the acoustic stuff is as complex as her guitar playing for Covet, only there is lyrics. Or there are lyrics.
There are lyrics.
There are them lyrics, what they have.
These days.
These days. But I was kind of undecided whether to go for Yvette Young or whether to go for Covet, and I kind of decided that I was going to say both, because you could have a really good stage show based on the two. And to be honest, I'd quite like to hear her songs played by Covet.
Why not?
So,
why not?
So, because I think the instrumentals are really good. They're really complex and they're really interesting. There's so much happening in all of those pieces of music. But I also think the songs would kind of help break it up a bit in case a concentrated, like, 40 minutes or so of Covet would be quite intense. So it'd be quite good to break it up with the songs. That's kind of how I felt about it. I suggested listening to their Covet's EP, and
with good reason.
Oh, you plum. And I also suggested listening to Yvette Young's first acoustics EP. Really good pieces of music. I felt I was really stunned. A friend of mine shared one of her videos of her playing on Facebook, and then so I could just kind of dug around on Bandcamp and found all her music there. So
Bandcamp's the best, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying it.
I love Bandcamp.
Now I've set up a listening account that I can actually look for stuff and listen on. Then it makes a big difference.
Oh yes. Shall I pick up with some opinion?
Go for your opinions.
Here's my opinion, John.
Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was good stuff. Because I can see. When you say it's math rock,
yeah,
it falls a little short of full-on math rock, and for its own betterment.
Yeah,
it's got some quite complex dynamics to it, which is a bit math.
Yeah,
it definitely falls into kind of a post-rocky kind of territory, and it's bloody lovely. And oh, hang on, Gordon's wagging his finger around.
Does everyone know what math rock is?
Math rock. I've never actually seen it written down with a thorough definition, but my understanding is it's somewhere between metal and jazz, or kind of free jazz.
That's not helpful.
Yeah, it's very whittly, it's very taut, it's very tight guitar playing, very precise. But it typically works almost more like an equation than normal music, in that everything makes sense mathematically, but when you listen to it, it sounds like a hell of a lot of clatter until you get through it a couple of times. Going, now it's starting to make sense a bit. Some parts of the Horse Lords stuff that we listened to was a bit mathy.
Yeah.
So,
I forgot about Horse Lords.
Horse Lords. But yeah, anyway.
Horse Lords.
Said yes. All of that and less besides. But yeah, so it's a bit mathy insofar as it is quite taut, quite a bit widdly, but in a very controlled way.
Yeah.
I love a bit of that.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit of a post-rock head.
Yeah.
So it's more the kind of close, taut kind of post-rock rather than the big, expansive, waiting for something to happen that eventually happens after about 20 minutes kind of post-rock. So,
and then an audience member applauds.
Yes. Woo! Assemble! I listened as well, obviously, to the Yvette Young stuff. I think I marginally prefer the Covet stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I prefer that kind of playing. But I see how it is a transference of that into an acoustic form, and it works surprisingly well.
Yeah, it does.
She's got a very, very good playing style, and I was very much impressed.
Yeah, and I would kind of like to see her songs kind of get ported into Covet, because that would be
I could see how that would work, to go make a full ensemble electric band version of her solo acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And, it'd be cool.
Fairly simple addition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
For fuck's sake.
I had very little sleep last night.
How many times?
Gordon.
Okay.
Save us from this.
So, I'm probably going to use different
divides us.
Types of words, because I don't talk like that. But yeah. I have made some notes.
Will we all talk as equals?
Oh, no. None of that.
We're greater than the sum of our parts.
So I listened to John's selection.
Yeah.
I started with Covet.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good.
Awesome.
I've made some notes. I'm going to read.
Would you like to share them with the audience?
Yes. Yeah. So I've put down here, cool guitar riff.
Yeah.
I particularly like the pelagic.
Yes.
Don't know how you pronounce it. I think I've spelt Hydra wrong. I might have given it an extra R. But anyway.
Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
What I liked about it, which I now understand is possibly math rock type thing, is that I didn't know where it was going next, and it kept me interested, and therefore kept me wanting to listen to it through the end rather than skip it along a bit. I also like how they describe sick harmonies as part of the whatever that thing is that you use to describe things.
Or pictures. Or annotated diagrams.
Well, I thought it summed it up quite nicely, actually.
I think it's an interesting thing with when vocals do appear on Covet.
When vocals appear! When
Attack of the Vocals. When vocals do kind of turn up, they're not overdone. So you'll just have like one or two voices just sort of descend into the melee.
Which is interesting because my next point is I wasn't so keen on the R's and the O's. On the Nautilus
warm
track. Again,
velvety liquid.
But you see, I'm not really an R type person anyway. I'm not really keen on. I always feel it's like you know, you can't think of anything to say, so you go ooh.
Maybe that's the reason why I want to see all the her songs get translated into Covet music.
I would like to say that you're in dangerous territory. Those in glass houses, Gordon, some of your selections and their lyrical choices are something that I will feel the need to highlight, possibly in a subsequent episode, but be careful.
More on that later.
So I said, I didn't say I just put bet they would be good to see live. Certainly instrumental stuff is the sort of thing that gets my tail wagging. I prefer that probably more than vocal stuff because I listen to music possibly different to you guys. I tend to focus in on the melodies and the actual musical element, and I treat the vocal more as an instrument itself.
Like a secondary sort of.
Yeah, so I have to really listen, so to speak, to the lyrics if that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So what I'm getting at, first time I hear something, I tend to just listen to the music and the melody.
Yeah.
And it would take repeated listening to listen to the lyrics. Unless it was on, you know, like a karaoke type thing.
You're watching a lyric video.
Which sometimes is nice. Sometimes you think, actually, this song's rubbish now that I know the lyrics. But then I listened to the Yvette Young, the acoustic choices, and it just reinforced what I just said. I'd like the instrumental stuff. Yeah. I think she's got a good voice, but I like the idea that you had, John, of splicing it between the instrumental and the vocal to give a nice all-roundness as a performance.
I feel like it would probably give a bit more depth to like the show overall.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I could listen to a whole record of her singing. However, I did like the, and again, apologies for my pronunciation, and of course it's the most difficult title, Hauntsley Pinkerdinkle?
Hauntsley Pinkerdinkle is probably one of the best song titles I think I've ever seen.
Reminds me of, I think it was a Bell and Sebastian B-side. It was a little instrumental piece called Judy is a Dick Slap. Love that.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's all.
Okay. Mr. Tyra.
Have you used my title, if you don't mind, since having started with it? Not Mr.
We have set a precedent.
Lord. Fuckwit. Lord Reverend.
Lord Fuckwit Tyra. Privy Dick Slap.
Right. all things considered, I regret all of my choices thus far. So, I'm kind of with Gordon on this one. I much, much preferred the instrumentals.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've said this before talking about other things, but if you... somebody can be a really, really good vocalist,
yeah.
but if you don't like the sound of their singing very much, it's kind of dead.
Yes, right. That's fair.
It doesn't matter how good the stuff underneath it is.
Yeah.
So consequently, I listened to the whole of Currents and I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Really nice music, really technical and intricate arrangements that...
Yeah.
got me really excited for listening to the solo acoustic stuff. And the music underneath it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly enjoy her vocal style.
Fair enough.
That's not to say it wasn't good and that it wasn't competent and that the lyrics weren't good and that the song titles weren't entertaining. The issue for me was I could not listen to the whole EP.
Yeah.
Because I got irritated.
Okay.
That's a personal thing, and that's not a wider criticism.
I think I would be interested to hear her songs
translated with the band.
To the whole band, because I think it would make a big difference. And possibly some harmonies would work really well with that as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Actually, having it mixed in with a more... comprehensive instrumental part might take away some of whatever it was that didn't resonate with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it would be less stark.
Yes.
Compared to the if it was mixed in with the kind of instrumental complexity that was going on with Covert.
Yeah.
It would be less stark than the pure voice and acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
But that's how I came away from it.
That's cool.
But I would definitely go and see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to see Covert.
On the whole, I think we're all. Yeah. Pretty much in favour.
I like Gordon's point about how you never know where the music is going to go because each song
very much a feature of Math. Just in general, it's every now and then it'll just throw you for a little bit of a loop, and sometimes a song will just take a full on right angle out of nowhere, and you'll spin for a minute, and then you'll catch up, and it's brilliant.
It's the kind of music that you love watching people try to dance to. Yeah, more on that in a later episode, actually. That point will feature again.
Advanced maths.
So, advanced maths.
Applied maths. On your mind.
Right.
But how do we integrate that?
Shut up. Sting.
So, we're working our way around the table. So,
over I to forgot me, to then. Say that it was a good product.
Anyway, over to me now. I've kind of laid out my choices as if basically putting together one day of a festival, specifically the middle day of a 3-day festival.
Yeah.
And so I've decided to start off with a band that would be perfect for people who are maybe a little bit worse for wear from the previous day, a little bit hungover, you know. So something nice
long,
and gentle.
Long journey to the venue.
Not for the second day.
No.
Well, maybe. Some people can't get off work on Friday, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe think about awesome. Them.
I don't...
You often. Jerk.
Fuck them. Dedicate yourself to Festival Fest 2018. Put a lot of work into it.
Brackets cancelled.
Yes. I wanted something nice and mellow. Quite simple, but interesting at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I racked my brain for a bit and decided on Featherweights.
Yeah.
Who are... There's not a great deal of information about them on the internet that I could find.
No.
I'm fairly certain they're Scandinavian. Also fairly certain they're a couple...
They're
definitely called
definitely
like,
a couple.
Pretty strongly, it's a strong suspicion, yes, that they are indeed a couple.
Yeah.
If nothing else from the lyrics in that last song.
Yes, they've gotten Linus and Linnea, and I just love them dearly.
Yeah.
They work in kind of an indie pop kind of area, but in a very, very lo-fi, very gentle way. A largely kind of bit of an acoustic thing with occasional bit, little moments of parping. There is some saxophone every now and then played by Linnea.
Yeah.
And bits of piano and such. But it's definitely got that kind of acoustic indie pop kind of feel. But the thing I love most about them is the lyrics, which almost deliberately and willfully don't seem to properly scan ever.
Yeah.
It's more of like a stream of consciousness set to some rather adorable music. And just on any topic that they feel like. Sometimes it makes sense on some like hundreds of love songs, just talking about... the necessary cliches involved in writing love songs, but then again falling deeply in love with someone and only being able to write love songs. Yeah. It's a very sweet premise, it makes a lot of sense. And then there's, on the other hand, something like If I Was a Cat, which is a song about wanting to be a cat, but then the various reasons all start to get weirder and weirder as it goes along. there's a very sweet lyric about how people would say that you were cute and want to pet you. And then there's one about being castrated and not having to worry about having children. So
you can do that without being a cat.
Thanks, Gordon.
It's true.
I'm just sure
come by my garage. Lend me £20. I've got a couple of house bricks.
A strong elastic band and a sturdy mallet. It's just the lyrics are never quite nonsensical, but often will raise a bit of an eyebrow and. Where are you going with this? And it's just a very appealing, quintessentially Scandinavian feel to it. I'm fairly certain that's kind of that and their surnames. I just think it'd be a perfect starter band to a day, just to ease you in, let you recover a bit of yourself. Yeah. It'll be very pleasant, but also something that's not just nice.
Yeah,
it's got a little bit of an edge to it that will just keep you interested.
Yeah.
Theoretically, we'll see what Gordon thinks.
So, remember in the last thing that I spoke about, and I said I don't really listen to the lyrics.
Yes.
Yeah. Well.
Oh dear.
After Mike's description, I feel like perhaps it would have been nice to have listened to the lyrics. So anyway, I started off with relatively brief notes. I've only got 3 bullet points, so I'll try and expand them. I put down. I like the guy's vocals. He sounds nice. I don't know what he sings about, but I like his voice.
It does, both vocalists, they have very gentle, sweet voices, but they're a little bit flat. Yeah. And I feel deliberately so, which works, to my mind, with the music, gives it that little off-kilter edge.
Well, that's interesting that you should say that, because just finishing that point, I particularly like that Homesick in Love song.
That's making a series of faces here, which is very entertaining.
However, I wasn't so keen on the lady's voice. I found it a bit too chirpy, a bit too high, and a bit too fragile. It felt like she would break if you touched her like a porcelain doll. And it just kind of made me feel a little bit on edge and like,
you don't touch the performance.
Well,
that's frowned on.
No, I mean,
although we don't know what the boundaries of their live show are.
Fairly certain they're not going to be stage diving.
What I mean is, like, I like a vocalist, like a particularly female vocalist, to have a bit more balls. You know, like more from a, like. No, I mean like in a mouth. You know, like
what?
What kind of festival do you think this is?
I mean, like something a bit more from the heart, from more kind of like.
You're doing tits then. Your hands were doing tits.
That was expanding heart. That was expanding heart.
Expanding heart is a serious medical condition.
Cupping your hands in front of your chest is tits.
Something
expanding
not
heart.
Something not continuously gentle and slight. Just something a bit more
like having balls in your mouth.
It's just like the for example, I used to really like L7.
Yes.
Now and. It's that kind of.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Just, you know, you can have those moments of tranquility, but I just like it not to stay at that steady pace of. So I've also put down here that it's. Some of it felt a bit ragtime, which wasn't a bad thing. A bit sort of, you know, down your local pub and having a bit of a knees up in a fragile, gentle way. It reminded me.
Weeping.
Balls in your mouth. Balls in your mouth.
Like, no.
Chimney balls in your mouth.
No touching each other. There was a part that reminded me. I was in Seattle once. And you know, is it the fish market? Well, what's that market, that famous market? Anyway.
There was Seattle or the famous fish market?
Seattle. And they throw big fish at each other. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy and he was on the piano. And, you know, one of these people that does.
Pianist.
Yeah, but he was on the street and he had, like.
No need to be rude.
He had, you know, one of those pianos that you push around and you do street performance. Well, street performance. And I watched him for a bit, and he had this really cool reverb sound coming from the piano. But he would basically play the same track consecutively for, you know, just the same bit of the same track over and over again, because the amount of people that would walk past, watch him for about a minute, and then
again,
buy a CD,
glass houses.
watch him for a bit, buy a CD, $10, I didn't buy it. In fact, he had quite a few. And then they would walk off, and then a new group of people would come, and he would do the same bit again. It was good, but only that bit was good, and I bet the rest of that CD is rubbish. Anyway,
I'm lost on what this has got to do with anything.
Well, it reminded me of that in the sense that it was some really good bits, but I'm not sure if you listen to the whole thing, you would want to listen to the whole thing. You would just listen to the bit that you like. And for me, it was the tracks where the guy, I forget his name, apologies,
Lennis,
did the majority of the singing, and the lady took more of a back seat.
Okay.
I'm ready to take violent exception to that.
Yay! I like
because I've written that it, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of some other artists, and in a good way. So it reminded me of Jens Lehmann, Magnetic Field, Kings of Convenience, particularly in terms of the humour, some of the simplicity of some of the arrangements, although actually all of those that I've listed, possibly apart from Kings of Convenience, all have quite intricate and complex arrangements for the... But the humour and the levity generally came through. Also, I've just added Moom to that list as well. When you were talking about the cat one, which wasn't on the one that you recommended, was it?
There are only three things on the Bandcamp, and I recommended...
you recommended the self-titled
Featherweights and Songs by Linnea, which is just an EP. The cat one is on Linnea.
I didn't listen to that.
That's fine.
So I liked the simplicity of it and the humour that came through. My criticisms are the exact diametric opposite of Gordon's criticisms. I thought that Homesick in Love was too long, it was boring. In fact, I didn't like any of Linus's singing, apart from on When Linnea Met Linus, which I just thought had one of the best choruses of we were in a long-distance relationship for the better part of a year. And him just toning in with, but I wasn't aware of it. I thought that was fantastic.
My personal favourites are always one where Linnea takes most of the singing and kind of chips in with a little duo one-liner.
And that was my preference. I thought her singing was lovely. But what I did realise was about halfway through listening to it and thinking, I'm a bit bored of this, was that if I clicked the lyrics button on Bandcamp... that actually the song suddenly became much more enjoyable because trying to compress a lot of this into a short space of time means that often you're listening to the broad... Well, certainly from my perspective, I was listening to the broad brushstrokes of the tracks and the artist in general rather than listening to the specifics. Mm-hmm. So once I was in a position to check the lyrics out, suddenly it all clicked into place and I was enjoying it a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I did not know Bandcamp had a lyric button.
Didn't know that.
You're all doing it wrong. Bow to me, I am your new god. That's my new title.
I shall look for that. Nice.
I'm done.
Oh, okay.
Talk.
Okay, my turn. my first note says, expected mic levels of adorable shonkiness.
Hey, I do like shonky, adorable stuff.
Yeah,
And yet, you dislike me.
In addition to the acts that Matt had just listed... Some songs actually put me in the mind of Garfunkel and Oates.
A little, yeah.
Because there's a few lines where they just shoehorned as many words into.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. And it just kind of made me think of because I have watched a few. I've watched Garfunkel and Oates's TV series that they have.
Yes, the one on Netflix and the special.
Trying to be special, I think.
Yes.
And just the way that they just cram whole words into sentences that shouldn't have that many words in a verse.
And yet when I did it.
Well, what's his name used to do that?
That man. Craig Leon.
Oh, I have to think of his name. Extinction Level Event. Buster Rhymes. He used to get a lot of words in, didn't he?
He did?
Yeah.
Isn't that rap music?
Yes.
So...
So the
What was the question
you asked me, Mike?
When you try and get to too many words in and get like a rushed feel. That happens a lot with featherweights.
Yeah, yeah.
As you get, which again just contributes to that almost stream of consciousness style of lyric writing.
I would agree with elements of both things that Matt and Gordon have said. In the instrumentation's quite nice and sparse, and I like their sort of interplay lyrically speaking. Mm-hmm. I think the humour and everything worked well for me.
Agree with one of us.
Oh God. I'll agree with Matt.
Hey.
Yes.
Token agreement points from Matt.
No, I'm keeping score.
It was I was on a little trip to Oxford and listened to it in my hotel room, and it was a very pleasant listen.
Oh, that's a charming thing to listen to while in Oxford, which is a charming place.
Exactly.
Delightful.
It was great. I imagine a live show of theirs would be quite one of those sort of quietly amusing sort of things where, you know, the songs would happen and there would be ripples of laughter throughout the audience, and then even in between songs there'd be like a really long pause and then one of them would say something amusing.
I imagine the kind of a Flight of the Conchords level of awkwardness between songs, and them both just kind of standing there nudging each other a bit, like, yes. Do the next song now.
Just for additional points, just for anyone bearing just off the cuff of what I've just said, is that I would really recommend watching Garfunkel and Oates' Pregnant Women as Smug.
Yes.
That's very funny.
Very, very interesting.
I do just...
Something I've just remembered, actually. Featherweights apparently now are a four-piece band.
No way.
They are, yeah, but it's just... You know, I've not seen any footage of them performing yet, but I've seen the people that they've got in... And they also look quite twee and delightful. So I can't imagine suddenly going all mental on us and really thrashing it out.
Yeah. Can I just make one comment about featherweights, which would be that if there was a long period where they weren't putting anything out, surely their entire audience would just be panicked that they'd split up.
Yes.
Do you know when the last time they released something? 2014.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But there were updates on their Facebook group earlier this year, so... So they still seem to be, they're fine.
Well, the other possibility is that they had a baby.
It may be.
Yeah.
Or they've changed the lineup.
Just now a revenge guy. He's just a heavy metal biker.
Have you hit the sting, John?
I did hit the sting, yes.
So it's over to Gordon now.
Okay, what am I talking about?
We've been wondering that for years.
All right. Tell me when you're ready.
We're ready.
Right. So I'm going to start off with the genre of Eurodance. Now, the selections I chose are to represent Eurodance. Rather than... Because the thing with Eurodance is that...
it's a source of passion?
Well, you see, the thing is, usually when you talk Eurodance, people automatically go, no, no, no.
But you can feel it in the air.
No. Well, yes.
Whoa!
He doesn't like those. He doesn't like any of that nonsense.
So,
my bad.
I thought I would start off by describing what do we mean by Eurodance.
How long is this going to take, Gordon?
Not long.
3 hours.
So, I've made some notes, don't worry.
Please put the overhead projector away.
It combines the best elements of techno, high-energy house and disco. Mm-hmm. It usually has a great synth melody, vocalist, and, well, I've described it as rap bit, but this is specific to the German influence. Has a simple chorus and sampling to a strong beat.
Yeah.
For those who are into hardware, you often find a Korg M1 synth using the house piano preset. It has a positive, upbeat attitude with messages about love and peace, dancing or partying, and overcoming emotional difficulties.
And sometimes groping.
Balls in your mouth.
For those that care, it's usually written in minor keys, and when combined with positive lyrics, gives a powerful emotional sound.
Yeah.
So, I'll just give you a little bit of history.
That was already a little bit of history.
Well, it was born out of the Berlin club scene in the late 80s and 90s. The Love Parade, for those who know... I went to Love Parade, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Funny story, but I won't. It's probably not a PG story, but which was co-founded by Wes Bam and Dr. Mott, I think you pronounce his name, which was very much about peace and international understanding through love and music. And the techno scene after the fall of the Berlin Wall was a major force in re-establishing the social connections between East and West Berlin. Mm-hmm. So the German sound of Eurodance was the next evolution from hip house, and particularly from things like Black Box, Ride on Time, which was the late 80s, Technotronic, yeah. Pump Up the Jam, Snap, Matt's favourite.
They did Rhythm is a Dancer. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm familiar with that track.
Incorrectly asserted it was a form of cancer.
Well, no, they said it's serious as cancer, which it is.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, actually, we'll get to that debate.
it's a dancer.
But that, lest I speak, that was more the 80s sound. The 90s sound progressed more into the Euro energy and became known as dance or Euro dance. It became very popular across Europe, Australia and Canada, and got some chart success and radio play. But it was mostly the house and rap style that got the radio play.
Are you taking this lecture on tour?
I'm nearly there. But it became less popular in the late 90s as it changed into various other styles, but was still pretty popular in Europe. And during my transition from middle school to secondary school, it was certainly a popular thing. So the selections I chose were Magic Affair. And these are pretty much one-hit wonders, or, you know, in the sense that I thought best represented Eurodance. So the majority of these are from the early 90s, 93. Magic Affair had an American rapper. Omen 3 was their big worldwide success hit, number one in Germany, number 17 in the UK.
Yeah.
Max, short for Maximum Ecstasy, which, you know, says it all. Number of changes to the singers and rappers in many of these groups, particularly the Captain Hollywood project.
Yeah.
Interesting story about Captain Hollywood, how he got his name. Can I say that?
Go for it.
So,
is it like Captain Planet, where a bunch of people come together and put their powers of different magics and summon Captain Hollywood?
No.
Is one of them ecstasy?
No. So he was actually a US Army captain stationed in Germany, and off duty he would street dance in his uniform, and he became known as Captain Hollywood by his fellow officers.
I want to watch this origin story as a movie.
And he opened a dance school in Germany called Captain Hollywood School of Dance, and worked a lot with various other German artists like Hathaway, if people remember Hathaway.
I do remember Hathaway.
And the track I've chosen is actually from a later Eurodance track, a 1995 Flying High, which also had some Happy Hardcore remixes and various other remixes, and one that I personally feel that if you don't like, then you must be dead, because it gets you pumping.
So do beans.
I did miss some stuff out there.
Also good for your heart.
I had some more interesting.
No, we're good. No, we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
That's fine.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt. You did good research.
Matt.
I enjoyed it. I liked all three of those videos. I have a few comments on each one, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is that the sudden, very loud female harmonies that came in repeatedly on Omen 3.
It's good, isn't it?
Were quite alarming.
Do what you want.
Yeah, that's the ones.
Yeah.
They were just sudden and loud.
Eurodance.
Well, yes. I liked the rapping. The rapping was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. God, that was so white.
Well,
Getaway, also speaking of that was so white, the rapping section in that couldn't have really been any whiter.
Mm-hmm.
It was problematic.
It was ragga.
No, it was problematic, is what it was. And I quite enjoyed the Captain Hollywood Project song. However, having watched the video, where did they get that much PVC, and how was she so tall?
Oh, yes.
All very good questions. Yeah.
Got to chill.
Yes, well,
not in that much PVC.
No. got to melt. Got to melt.
Got to really quite seriously overheat.
Got to struggle to get back out of that thing as well.
You've got to talk up.
Yes.
Mind you, if you've been to the Love Parade, it would all make sense.
So there's that.
Mm.
As I said, I quite enjoyed it, and I would definitely record some Eurodance.
Mm. I've got some.
Okay. John?
Well, hilariously, this is all the kind of stuff that people would listen to a lot when I was at high school. So I was more familiar with Max's Getaway than I was with...
Problematic.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan at high school and hadn't listened to it since then, so it was interesting to reacquaint with it as a genre. With this being a kind of a medley on stage, I imagine this would be absolutely mental.
I forgot to mention that bit, didn't I?
Yeah.
Is this a DJ set, or no, is this turning up
this
live?
This is a live PA, and you'll pass the microphone, and it'll be like a DJ set, but then they'll break into the next...
They'll all kind of be joining in with one another, maybe.
And some dancers.
And so much PVC.
I would overheat just watching it. Just because...
It'll be like 90s Eurovision. Or early 2000s Eurovision in some instances.
Or last year's Eurovision and others.
I didn't watch it. Was there a lot of PVC still?
Probably.
Is that just not what so keeps the entire PVC industry going? Eurovision and bondage?
It's not much of a PVC vibe these days.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's more of a boring ballad vibe. Unlike this year where we had some good nonsense, some good strong nonsense.
I like Eurovision.
Yeah, I love Eurovision. Oh. Except when I hate it, and then I love it even more.
It's usually the group I don't like that wins. So.
Yeah. Mm.
And then it's just worth it for Graham Norton's acerbic commentary.
Mm.
I haven't got a great deal to add, really. In the, it's very evocative of the time, and I suddenly feel very old having grown up during it.
You've visibly aged.
I have, yeah, it's true. Which leads us on to Mike.
Yeah, much like John.
You've visibly aged.
Yes. But in a hairier way. On the face.
You're a hairier manager.
Yes. Much like John, I was very much aware of this style of thing in the 90s. A lot of people I didn't particularly like listened to it. And I kind of hated it by association. But it's nice just to go up to it now, listen to it, and hate it for what it is. I'm sorry to say I was not a fan at all of any part of it. It just does not dovetail at all well with my general tastes.
Yes.
And I probably would give this one a miss, if I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Gordon, there are positive notes for your other choices.
Okay.
So don't feel too disheartened by this one, but this particular one was not for me.
It's so uplifting and pumping.
And that's why I hate it. I don't like the feeling of people trying to uplift me.
How do you feel about being pumped?
On or around?
If you come to my garage and slip me 20 quid.
Before or after you castrate me?
I'm not picky.
That's cool. All right, we'll discuss later.
We'll do one, see how you feel about the other.
do you know what? I'll do the whole package for 30 quid.
You said you did the whole package for 20 just a minute ago.
No, it was 20 for each. Finish off by saying, do you like how I did the whole Eurodance thing without mentioning Two Unlimited?
You did very well on that front.
Until
now.
Until just having mentioned it just then.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What's Two Unlimited?
No.
Oh, there's no limit!
Yeah.
Yes.
Sweet. That was novelty.
It was all originally written by that character off The Vicar of Dibley.
Exactly.
Dawn French.
Anyway, yes, Dawn French. Hit the sting, John.
And that brings us to Matt.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so I chose a band called The Mountain Goats, who I've, for the last 12 months, probably, maybe a bit longer, being completely and utterly obsessed with.
Yeah.
There's just so much there. I'm overwhelmed by it. So, the Mountain Goats are an interesting group. They're basically centred around a singer-songwriter called John Darnielle. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not, because I'm in myself problematic.
Please are probably not listening, so...
Well...
One lives in hope.
Craig Leon, my
love me. So no, they've gone through a lot of different things. When the project started, it was a lot of him recording on in a very lo-fi way on particularly a Panasonic boombox, recording very frenetic guitar and vocal pieces with lots of emphasis being on the lyrical content, and often very short, and the albums would be just lots and lots of songs made from a selection of home recordings, live recordings, the occasional studio recording, the occasional four-track recording, and then these Panasonic boombox items. In the early 2000s, they started becoming more studio-orientated with All Hail West Texas being the last of the Panasonic boombox era before becoming more of a three-piece and then later more-piece band. And the evolution from those early recordings through some really personal works like We Shall All Be Healed, The Sunset Tree and Get Lonely has led to some really interesting and complicated arrangement work, particularly on the last two albums, but really from Transcendental Youth, Beat the Champ and Goths, there's just so much complexity and depth to the musical arrangements, which is the opposite of what was going on in a lot of ways on the early recordings, which are raw and full of passion and energy. And both are incredible. I will not dispute that. What I would say as possibly the most divisive factor in the people that I've gushed about the Mountain Goats to over the last 2 years is again, his is a vocal style which is extremely divisive. And it wouldn't surprise me if that came up in any of your commentary. Personally, I really like it. But then I didn't like one that all of the rest of you liked, so... It's a personal thing, isn't it? So and the album that I asked you to listen to was the album Heretic Pride, which kind of falls slap bang in the middle of the studio era, and I think is just a really, really strong body of work with a good range of string arrangements, guitar-based songs, and I think the recording quality across the album is really solid. I think it's just a nice bit of songwriting across the board. There's no troughs, I don't think. And that's why I chose that particular record. But they're all good, they're all different. Listen to all of them. Listen to all of them right now. Stop this... don't stop the podcast.
No.
After the podcast, listen to the entire Mountain Goats discography.
How long would that take?
Time
well spent.
Time well spent. Start with Heretic Pride, start with Tallahassee, start with Beat the Champ. You can't go wrong. Watch out for... Full Force Galesburg, potentially, based on what the internet said. I haven't got to that yet. I haven't had time.
I really enjoyed the record. I think, because I've listened to lots of Mountain Goat stuff as we've driven places.
Yes, that is because of a problem. You not driving.
That is part of the problem. I can't deny that. Possibly all of our first introductions to Mountain Goats, obviously with the exception of Matt, was a song called Foreign Object, which actually just had me in stitches because the chorus of it being, I will stab you in the eye.
I personally will stab you in the eye with a foreign object. Just for clarity, that's from the album Beat the Champ, which is a concept album which looks at loneliness through the lens of professional wrestling.
That's an interesting bit of background to have that we didn't at the time. I think ever since, I've always been ever so slightly disappointed that no song has made me laugh as much as that did. Just from the point of view of that song on its own. But the kind of the variety of arrangements ranging from really sparse to really quite elaborate is really interesting to listen to. I think... Yes, he does have a very particular vocal style that I like and I'm interested by. I feel like I ought to be irritated by it, but I'm not.
Good. That's the right...
It,
right approach.
It's a very interesting sort of delivery of words. They're very. There's no way to actually describe how the vocals are delivered, but there's a kind of there's a flourish. There's kind of like a vocal flourish that he does with whole sentences that is. I don't know. I can only describe it with gestures, which is really not helpful, for an audio podcast.
A swoosh of the hand.
A swoosh of the hand.
Just be, what's it, tits. Audio descriptive.
Yes. Balls in the mouth.
Totally tits.
Is that
balls
better
in
or worse than a dog?
It was a dog's balls in the mouth. Then, you know.
Oh, man. But yeah, I've heard quite significant chunks of quite a few Mountain Goats albums. When Matt and I have been going from one place to the other, usually either me driving...
No.
either with him driving me to his house or back to mine, or one of the many other myriad variations thereof. But there's a wide range of songs dealing with a range of different scenarios, stories and situations and things, and I would... very much like to see what that looks like on stage. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to keep this brief.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a great deal to add to anything that either one of you has said.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Goats are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, my first introduction to them was the track See America Right from Tallahassee.
Ooh.
Chew.
I know.
It's kind of a... it's somewhere between punk and Americana.
Yeah.
It fairly rattles along, and it's got a real feel of ferocity to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that tune. I love that album.
Just for clarity, Tallahassee, across... that was the first proper studio album.
Mm-hmm.
Across a lot of the early recordings, there was a lot of songs which had the word alpha in it,
mm-hmm.
and that was all about a couple that were in kind of an imploding relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Tallahassee is the concept album that kind of brings that whole storyline to a close.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this couple which have had this horribly destructive, alcohol-fueled relationship, deciding to move to Tallahassee, Florida, and what happens from that point onwards. And they might die at the end, it's a little unclear. Sorry, spoiler warning. As though it matters, it's a brilliant album.
Yeah,
it's got some of the best lyrics on it.
Yeah, and I've heard that and Shape of the World to Come.
Life of the World to Come,
that was it. I also had a bonus CD because I bought it at Rough Trade, the Life of the World in Flux, which is basically five demo versions and live versions of a lot of the tracks. That is fantastic as well. The only thing I want to add about the whole thing you raised about the voice, I mean...
which I love.
Yeah, for God's sake, I mean, I listen to Sparkle Horse, Decemberists, Bright Eyes. These are all bands with a male vocalist whose voice probably should be irritating as all get out, but for some reason is actually very appealing, very engaging, very entertaining.
But for some people, it will completely rub them up the wrong way. In the same way as Tom Waits, Nick Cave, anyone with a strong, specific style.
Well, I'm talking specifically about artists working within kind of an Americana area that may be a bit high-pitched and nasal.
Yeah.
I personally am fine with that kind of thing. Those artists that I've named, each and every one of them has got at least some tracks that I am absolutely 100% in love with. So, yeah, fine.
The funny thing, it
works for me.
The funny thing I just actually just thought of is that John Darnielle.
It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
Don't embarrass yourself.
The funny thing is,
his books are good too.
he doesn't look like I imagine him to look from his vocal delivery. From his vocal delivery, for some reason, I imagine him to look like the Porter guy in 30 Rock.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
Kenneth.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. That's going to make the next time I listen to Martin Goats so much more entertaining.
I think I need a break from Mountain Goats.
In his little page jacket.
With his little American
NBC,
flag.
NBC, logo on it.
Right, so, go on.
I just tried to Google what they look like and I actually got Mountain Goats.
Actual pictures of Mountain Goats. I can see his face.
I don't really know what you were expecting.
Yeah.
Did you Google the Mountain Goats?
No.
Because they're not Mountain Goats, they are a the Mountain Goats.
Just a Mountain Goats.
Hang on.
They are very much the.
Which one is he? Is he the guy with the hands?
No, he's this one.
No, he's the one without the hands.
And what's the guy that John was talking about?
Can we do this offline?
Yeah. No, I'm just curious.
Yes, you are.
First time I became aware of the Mountain Goats, I didn't actually listen to them, funnily enough. I was in a record shop in Japan, and I saw the cover. I actually ended up buying the Big Boss soundtrack, you know, Bruce Lee. It wasn't cheap, actually. And then I saw it in the UK for a lot cheaper.
Stay on target.
So I saw the cover, and it was the, I can't remember, the wrestling theme.
Beat the Champ.
The Chavo Guerrero track on it. And I thought, ooh, that looks good. And then I forgot about it until Matt introduced me again and said, have you heard of this? And I said, well, I've heard of it, but I haven't heard it. And anyway, cut a long story short. I ended up listening to it. And I've heard quite a bit of the Mountain Goats since. And I'd agree with what's been said. It's good. Mm-hmm. Saying that, I don't think I could listen to as much of it consecutively as perhaps yourself, because although the voice doesn't bother me, after a while, it's a bit much. But then that's also because I prefer to listen to
the music.
Instrumental, the music, mm-hmm. and so it exhausts me listening to songs that you have to listen to the vocals as well. Although, if it's on Bandcamp and there's a lyric section, I will try that.
You should definitely listen to Goths. The arrangements on it are fantastic. And if you do pick up any of the lyrics, a lot of them are very entertaining.
Yeah.
Very, very tongue-in-cheek look at goth music as a whole genre.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that brings us back around to the end, I believe.
It does. So,
I think we need to have a bit of a vote on who we think, out of the other people, who we think they're the best. Don't... What?
He's just Gordon's stretching, been, I think.
I was just stretching.
I'm starting my six-week thing today.
All right. He started his six-week thing today.
His beach body.
Oh, that was it. But yes, we're all going to vote.
But we're desperately waiting on a lightning storm to bring it to life.
It works! It works!
Anyway.
Take that, fad diet.
We're going to vote on which of each other's acts we think are the best.
Can we vote for ourselves?
No, each other's acts. That's why I said that.
Is it a secret ballot?
No. What? That makes for a shit recording.
Are
it's like a rustling of paper.
We're going in the order that
let's go in the same order. So, John, if you want to lead the way.
I'm really quite torn. I'm going to go for Mountain Goats.
You,
I'm going to go. I'm going to say Mountain Goats.
Oh, cool. I was going to say Eurodance.
I'm going to go with Covert. Although it's very close with the Mountain Goats, yeah. I'm saying.
You can't vote for your own.
I really like Covert. And I think I'm going...
It's what you do to your neighbour's ass.
Yeah. Is it?
Oh, yeah. No, wait, you're not supposed to covet your neighbour's ass.
Covert!
Hmm.
I really liked it, the current CP, and I vote for that.
I'm also going for Covert.
Okay.
So, John,
my word.
You're the winner of the first episode.
I wasn't expecting that.
Hang on. Phone's ringing. Hello? Hi, Barry. Oh, it's to be expected. Thanks anyway, mate. Bye. Yeah, so that was Barry Hogan just calling us to confirm that, yes, it is cancelled.
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently all the money that they gathered, he had it all there in his bank account,
mm-hmm.
and he got an email from a Nigerian prince. Oh, you know, he gave him the money. Everything was fine, but then a Nigerian prince lost it on a Ponzi scheme. So
that's disappointing.
It's a bit disappointing.
That is quite disappointing.
But we are officially still cancelled. So
okay,
pretty much how we expected that to go.
Yeah.
So next week we'll try and rearrange another festival with a whole another four acts.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Hopefully that one will go ahead and be cancelled on the day as planned.
Yeah.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Hello. Also good one.
Indeed, all of those. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
Available at all friendly iTunes and other places. Spotify as well. Listen to us, please.
Bye.